Thank you once again for another opportunity to come to God's house and to be with God's people and to worship your Holy Son and in a way to thank Him for all that you've done for us. We pray for our church family, and we pray for all the children that have come out for all these, I believe it's 8 days now, and we pray that they are having a wonderful time, but not only having a wonderful time, but they're learning about Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and they're finding out that they need the Lord. Our young people need the Lord more today than probably any time than in the history of the world. I believe these are the last days, and they are evil days, and nothing fights evil better than truth. And so we ask that you would just give our young people truth, give our teachers wisdom and patience and kindness and a love in their hearts. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at this this great story of Hannah. And there's a lot of good stuff in here. A lot of things that we can apply to our lives today. So let's read Samuel, chapter 1. I guess I can get through about 14, maybe. Some of these big words, maybe that's why Reverend Jones didn't show up. So I'm going to blow through them. Y'all probably going to say, oh, that man know how to pronounce them words. Okay, y'all don't know how to pronounce them, and I don't know how to pronounce them, so I'm going to make them sound as like I know how. I'm going to make it sound like I know what I'm saying. Okay. That's a tip for all you teachers out there. You see a word, you just make it sound the best you can and keep moving fast. Okay. Now, there was a certain man of Ramoth-Anzophim of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, and the son of Jeroham, excuse me, a son of Eliu, the son of Tehu, the son of Zup, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. That ought to get everybody's attention. We got problems. Okay. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. And the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. That's problem number two. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? That's interesting, ain't it? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thy will indeed look on my affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken here. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. I'm going to stop there. That's a lot. Amen. We're in Samuel chapter 1, Deacon Nate here. We finished Ruth. Ruth was a chapter, one chapter ahead. And we talked about Ruth and Naomi and her affliction. Even though Naomi was blessed of the Lord, Naomi was still afflicted. We talked about that. I believe we talked about that not even on Monday, I believe, but we talked about it on Sunday. And we were preaching how even though the disciples were in the boat, they were in God's will, they were in the boat, but still they suffered. There's a lot of teaching today that says, you know, that because you're in God's will, you ought not to suffer. Okay? But all throughout the Word of God, the people of God, even though those who serve God mightily suffer. Here we see Hannah, whose name means favored of the Lord, suffering. Suffering. And why was she suffering? We see that she was born and she was married to a man who had two wives. And in the custom of that day, if a wife was barren, a woman couldn't have a child, if a woman was barren, the husband had a right to put her away, because producing children, especially male children, was something very, very desirable in that day. So Hannah could not have children. And we see in verse number 2, I'm going to jump right to verse number 2. And it said he had two wives. And again, any of us who've been around a little while, even if you married and divorced, we know that could be problematic, because that husband still has another wife. Okay, and if you have a man that's had children with that wife, then that relationship is almost still binding. Okay. Jeremy knows what I'm talking about a little bit. I imagine he probably can say amen to that. Nate, some of us in here who's experienced that, because that there's problems. Now imagine if that other wife was in the house with you. I've seen all the women's faces just crinkled up. That's really going to be problematic. Okay. See, none of you women would be good poker players. Okay. Yeah. Jeremy said he'll be the one to leave. He'll leave both of them. Okay? But you see that. You see that in verse 2. And he had two wives. And there's a comma apostrophe there. Because there, that you need to dwell on that a little bit. Why did he have two wives? Remember Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah couldn't produce. She was barren. God had closed her womb. And what did she do? She went out and got her handmaiden, because that was the custom of the day. Wasn't against the law. Wasn't God's way of doing things. Okay? It wasn't God's way of doing things, but Abraham loved Sarah. And this Elkanah loved Hannah. They could have put them away and got a wife that was fertile or able to produce, but they didn't. But they brought in another woman. Okay? And in Abraham and Sarah's situation, God had promised them that they were going to have a child. So really, they were in disobedience. But here we see the two wives. And the one was Hannah. And again, Hannah was most likely the first one because it's the first one name. So we see Hannah's the first wife. She can't produce. Now, it sounds like, just reading it, that these were wealthy people. Okay? So a woman of wealth in that day had handmaidens. So what Hannah most likely did was chose a handmaiden to have a child by her husband. Okay? And she chose Peninnah. And Peninnah had children. Not one. Historians say she might have had 10. Okay? There's a real problem in this house. Okay? Okay, you're going to give your handmaid to your husband that maybe had one baby. But 10, they putting in some work. Okay? Okay? So, and Hannah had no children. Okay? Now, we see the grace and the mercy and the humility of this one great woman of God, which Hannah was. Now, in this man, I'm in verse 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Shiloh was the place where the temple was at. It was required of men in that day to once yearly, all men, they could take their wives, but the men had to go to Shiloh. Or go to at least one of the three feasts. Dave talked about them yesterday. Either the Feast of the Booths, or the Passover, or the Pentecost. They had to attend one. Okay? So what we see here, here's a man. He's not doing what he's supposed to do because he got these two wives. That's not God's way. People say, well, that's not God's way. Okay? And if we turn to Genesis real quick, this is an easy book. I'm not going to turn to a lot of scripture. If you come out on Sunday, I usually do. But if you turn to Genesis 6, it talks about this in verse number 7. And it says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Okay? Why? Because Noah did things God's way. Okay? Now, I'm in verse number 7. Noah has gotten all these animals together. The ark is completed. Noah has put all the animals in it. And look at verse number 7. This is critical. This is key. These are the little things in the Word of God that we need to highlight sometimes. Look when Noah got into the ark. Don't care about what David was doing. You had Abraham. You had a lot of the men in the Bible had multiple wives. It wasn't against the law to have them, but it wasn't God's way. And God would soon correct that. And it would require that men only have one wife. But look at Noah in verse number 7. When he got into this ark, it says, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife. Okay? How many wives did his sons have? And his sons' wives with him. They had all had one wife because that was God's way. Okay? And that's just where I wanted to go with that. Okay, let's go back to Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 3. Interesting. Okay, so this man went up, verse number 3, went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Ain't that something? You know, they're like church folk today. Living crazy life, but they get to church every Sunday. Okay? And it's a picture of religion. Okay? And religion is what we do. Okay? Christianity is what God do through us. Religion is what we do. Okay? Y'all understand what I'm saying? You understand that? What's your name? Juana. You understand what I'm saying? Nick, that makes sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Listen. And the two sons of here's another good point. The two sons of Eli. Now we know about Hophni and Phinehas. The priests of the Lord. I mean, these were the priests of the Lord. And we don't have to turn to the scripture. We all know Hophni and Phinehas was doing some bad things in the temple. Just to mention their names. Okay? Nobody named their kids Hophni and Phinehas. Okay? Nobody naming their kids Lucifer. None of that. Okay? Nobody naming their kids Lot or Jezebel. We're not naming our children these things. Because scripture says bad things about them. When I say Hophni and Phinehas, those who study their word know that these two sons of Eli were having sexual relationships in the temple with the women. Okay? And Eli couldn't control his kids. Now, here's something that's really good when you look at that. Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord were there. They were there serving. They were really in charge of the worship service. Okay? But people still came to worship. Because that was the only temple in town. They ain't had nowhere else to go. We don't have that excuse. Okay? If y'all hear about this preacher that y'all listening to now, having multiple relationships and sexual relationships in the church with the women in the church, you need to find another church. Okay. I know we don't like that. I paid for these benches. I didn't sit on these pews so long they smell like me. You know. My mother and father buried in the back. My father started this church. You know, all that don't mean nothing. You need to go somewhere where God's word is being preached. Okay. Where the leadership in the church is living holy lives and godly lives. Not perfect. None of us are perfect. Okay. Let's make a play. But we ought to be the best we can under God's power. I hope that makes sense. Okay. And they didn't have a choice, but they still went to the temple. Look at verse 4. We in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah and his wife and her sons and her daughters. Man, this man had a lot of kids now. Okay, remember, historians said he may have had 10 children with this wife that he took on because Hannah couldn't have no kids. Now we're going to find out something else too, that Elkanah might have been out of God's will too. Because back in those days, when a God shut a woman's womb, there's nothing she could do. And you need to wait. And really what God is doing with Hannah is forcing her to pray in God's will. Okay? And sometimes when we feel like the wind is just contrary to us, that's the time we need to get on our knees and find out why God is up against us. Okay? See? We have to learn to turn to God. Hannah went to the temple. When she found seeing God was up against her and her God had closed her womb, okay? She didn't turn on Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil. She didn't go out and get none of these pills where these girl women now having 8, 9 baby. They having litters. Okay? They want babies so bad they taking experimental drugs and having 10 babies. Okay? That's not God's way. It's not God's way. You know, you're not supposed to have 10 kids at a time. Okay? Listen, watch this. He loved Hannah. And Elkanah, kind of arrogant type brother. Y'all ever met them kind of women? Think they all that in a bag of chips? They think they all that. You got me. That's all you need. Verse 5. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. He gave Hannah a lot, you know, back in today's, that would look like he gave Hannah a lot of nice stuff, jewelry. She had a nice place, nice car, nice clothes. Gave her, you know, like the guy from the Buffalo Bills was engaged to that woman and gave her a $895,000 ring, and then she called off the marriage, and he tried to sue her to get her ring back. And I believe the judge said, "No, you're not getting that ring back because you can't get back all that she gave you during that engagement." So, but we get like that. Verse number 5. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. He gave her a lot. He gave her a lot more than he gave Peninnah. For he loved Hannah. He loved Hannah. But this is critical here in verse number 5. But the Lord had shut up her womb. How about that? But the Lord had shut up her womb. That's what the word of God said. The Lord had his hand on Hannah because he was trying to get Hannah to conform to his will. Okay, he's trying to get Hannah to look at the circumstances surrounding this city, and I think what we're doing now as people, we just having babies, okay, and children's services can't keep them all, and children's services and all that, family service, they can't keep them all. They're going bankrupt trying to take care of your kids because we're not having them for the right reasons. Okay? God wanted Hannah to have a child for the right reasons. And when you look at there, you see Hophni and Phinehas was running the temple. Okay? Hannah was going to the temple. She was seeing what was going on. Everybody would have known what was going on. If you got one temple, there was one church in Youngstown. One church. Everybody went. Guess what? Everybody would know what's going on in that church. Okay? And it would have been in the people's prayers. If you got one church, and the two people running the church is corrupt, having sexual relationship with all the women that came in, what would that church need? New leadership, wouldn't you think? Huh? So we see God is trying to squeeze Hannah because it said God had shut up her womb. The only way she was going to have a baby is if God opened up her womb. Okay? And again, same with Sarah. Remember Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed. She laughed. And God, the angel of God said, "What you laughing at, Sarah? Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" Okay? And if you do history in the Bible, some of the greatest men that God ever used came out of women whose wombs were closed. John the Baptist. Isaac. There's a couple more I can't think. I ain't going away. Samson. One more big one, and I can't think of it. When it comes back, I will bring it up. But God always, when God was going to use a man, Rebecca. Okay, remember Rebecca, Jacob. Rebecca didn't have a baby, and she had Leah, and Leah was doing the same thing here. Leah had a whole bunch. Then Rebecca ended up having Joseph and Benjamin, and then she died having Benjamin. But Joseph went on to be great. Okay? Sometimes we just need to learn to do what? Wait on the Lord. See, we jump ahead of God's plan. A lot of times, we jump ahead of God's plan. And then all we do is mess up. Look at verse number 5. But the Lord has shut up her womb. Look at verse 6. Now here's a woman in the same house with Hannah. And most likely one of Hannah's former handmaids But see how God, see how Satan will use a person? You see that word there? And her adversary. How did she become her adversary? Okay? See, envy and jealousy has set in because you see what the Word of God is saying. Elkanah provoked a lot of this. Giving Hannah double portions, two for more. Well, I got 10 kids by you. How you feel? If you got 10 kids by a man, and he giving you, hypothetically speaking, $1,000, and you and your kids barely making it, and then you got a woman with no kids, and she living large. She was first. And Elkanah loved her, and he never let the other one. He didn't lead her on. But out of that woman's heart, she's like, "Hey, I want to be number one." That's right. That's right. It was important for them to have children. Okay. But she had to know her space. She had to know her place. She knew her place. The Word of God says she knew her place. It's like Gloria said. Hannah was number one. Okay. What was? The other one was trying to be number one. And what was Satan's sin? What was Satan's sin? He wanted to be what? Number one. Not that she wasn't still blessed. She was still blessed. She was living in the house of great wealth. Oh, and being taken care of. That wasn't enough. See? Yeah. Okay. And Sarah seen the same thing. And she got Hagar out of that house. Okay, she seen the same thing happen, and she told Hagar, "You and your little child, y'all getting up out of here. Home wreckers." Okay, you take that little crumb snatcher and y'all get to going. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. So that stuff happens. Listen. And listen. Two wives don't work. Two wives don't work. We know that. Okay, look at verse 6. Because this adversary thing jumping at me. And her adversary also provoked her sore. Now this is something that we really have to learn here. Because we don't know how God dealing with a person. Okay? God may be dealing with a person, and we don't know how God dealing with a person, but we can become the adversary because now we mocking and ridiculing that person going through for whatever reason. We don't know. God may have his hand on that person. Okay? God have his hand on that person, and what are we doing? We allowing Satan to use us. And here we see Peninnah allowing Satan to use her. Okay? And now she's going after the woman of God. That's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous thing to go after the man of God or the woman of God for no reason at all. Hannah wasn't, you don't see Hannah saying anything in this whole scene. She's not flossing it. Yeah, I got more than you. I got double portion. I'm living large. God is silent with that. But we see Peninnah now becoming her adversary to provoke her sore for her to make her fret. Mm-mm. Absolutely. It's flesh and blood. That's right. That's right. Right. That's right. Like an old Teddy Pendergrass song. The whole town's laughing at me. And that was ridicule in that day. Because you couldn't have a baby. So you were ridiculed. Remember I talked about Abraham. Abraham's name meant father of many. But he was 99 years old without no kids. You know he took it. Why is your name Abraham and you don't have no kids? You're 99 years old. And you went around here talking, "What's your name, Abraham?" And that's a laugh. They get a big laugh out of that. Okay? And you know what? That's a dangerous thing. We got to be careful what we laugh at. Everything ain't funny. I sit there today walking around my house and unit, and 2 days in a row, and they watching Jerry Springer, and I'm sitting here watching how they just make a mockery out of these folks. Just make a mockery out of them. I'm sitting here. This is getting a little upsetting to me. How they do? It's a sad thing. That's enough of that. and her adversary. That's a good point, Sylvia. Also provoked her. That's all the adversary knows how to do. That's his name. He's the accuser of the brother. He's the father of lies. I mean, you can get all the names you want for Satan, but that's one of the best, the adversary. He's the adversary. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Okay? And he got to find somebody that he can use first. He loved using church folk. For to make her fret. For to make her fret. Now that word fret, that's an extreme type of pain. Okay, here's a woman already full of sorrow and full of grief. Now you got somebody just wearing you out now. Somebody in your house. Somebody in your house. And they just wearing you down. Wearing you down. People of God, we have to pay attention that we don't allow Satan to use us. Because the church is really a hospital. Okay? And if sick folk can't come here, and I'm talking spiritually sick folk, can't come here and find love and peace and a calmness of spirit. If they can't find it here, they ain't going to find it in the world. Okay? They come to church. A lot of people come in here hurting. Okay? And it's a shame that a lot of churches aren't in safe environments. Okay? And when you look at it like that, when you look at the church, sometimes we look at the church and we come in here and it's just not here, it's a lot of churches. And we wonder, has God closed the womb of the church where the church can't give birth anymore? Okay? That makes any sense. See, the church, you know, we got churches now. And really what's really happening, folk just leave one church going to another. Rarely are unsaved people coming to the Lord. You know, most churches got all the members of this church or all the members of that church. Most of them, we call them transfer churches. And people just transfer a membership. Nearly no church growth. Ain't no people really being birthed into Christianity. Folk is just, well, over there, they having a good time over there, or they doing it over there, or this preacher going crazy, so I'm going over there. Okay? And that's not church growth. Okay? That's not church growth. We think it is, it's not. Our church is growing. No, your church ain't growing. People just leaving another church. Okay? All the people leaving church up there, going over there. All people are going leaving over there, I don't like this preacher no more, and you know, and he said something crazy, or you know. Church growth is when unsaved people who don't know the Lord come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's true church growth. Verse number 7 again. For the Lord has shut up her womb. Listen. And as he did year by year. Here's her husband just going on about his business. Year by year, going to the temple, going to church, going to the temple, going to the temple. So she went up to the house of the Lord. So she decided to go with him as he did year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord. Okay? So she provoked her. Now, Elkanah really getting upset. Because now, Hannah getting close to her blessing. Christine, you see that? Now she really turning up the heat because now Hannah is going to the only place where she can get an answer to her problem, the house of God, the pillar of truth. Hannah, now, verse 6. And the adversary also provoked her sore, turning it up a notch, for to make her fret, because the Lord has shut up her womb. Now watch this in verse 7. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. I'm not reading stuff into this. I only had a couple of hours to study and look at some of these scriptures. And if it was Sunday where I had a lot of days to study, I'm not telling you guys anything wrong, but the scripture says in Deuteronomy that if you was mourning, you couldn't come to the house of the Lord. That was Old Testament. If you were in a state of mourning, you could not come to God's house and offer up worship. Because your heart wasn't in the place where it should be. Deuteronomy. I don't have the scripture. I wish I did. I wrote it down, but I don't have my notes with me. See me after church if that bothers you. Okay? Because see, we say it, and we say it lightheartedly. If you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. Somebody say, ain't no use me and God being up all night. I'm going to sleep. Okay? If you turn it over to the Lord, turn it over to the Lord. Okay? If you're going to worry about it, then you ain't turned it over to the Lord if you're still worrying about it. Am I right? Okay? So what what Peninnah was doing was turning up the heat on Hannah to make her so sore and so in a state of mourning that she could not enter into the house of God to get her blessing. I'm making sense, Blanche. Hang in there with me. Okay? And listen. Verse number 8. Watch this now, because it explains it. And then Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? He's not saying, why are you crying? Are you crying for nothing? She's saying, we can't go to the house of God and pray and ask God to bless us if you in a state of mourning. That was Levitical law at that time. He's trying to get her together. He's saying, straighten up. He didn't know what else to say. I think he ran out of things to say. He said, why eatest thou not? She got to a point where she wasn't even eating. She was so depressed and so upset, she wasn't even eating. So she's going to step before the Lord. Now, we've seen how sharp Eli was, because Eli seen her mumbling and thought she was drunk. And he was basically trying to get her out of here. You don't belong here. You a woman of Belial. Okay? See, these Old Testament priests, they had the gift of prophecy. They could see things. And they could call on God. You were going to see the priest. So to take your petitions to the priest, and the priest was going, call on God. Eli, even though he had corrupt sons, still had favor with God. Okay? And maybe this was their season. And maybe Peninnah, no. Oh, there's going to be a blessing in the house of God. So what's she do? Because she's representing the devil. And she's trying to turn it up. So you can come in here on Sunday morning. You ain't going to get no blessing. Coming up in here, lips all poked out like you've been sucking on a lemon all night. Talking about, I'm going to get a blessing. You ain't getting nothing coming in here like that. You have to come into the house of God in a spirit of worship. You got to be ready to worship God. You got to be ready to serve the Lord. Come in here. Now, you've been out all night. See, some people come out. Be out all night, Saturday night. Oh, listen. Oh, it's quarter after two. We better get up around 11 because we got to sing tomorrow. You've been pulling them slot machines all night. And now you get ready to come to the house of God. And sing praises, the stamp is still on your hand. Yes, ma'am. No, you couldn't. Help me, sister. Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. That's why Paul say, we must what? Press toward the mark. Or the high calling of God. Blessings don't come easy. See, we think blessings come easy. No, they don't come easy. You know what? Like when that man brought his son to the disciples and Jesus was coming out of they had just seen the Mount of Figuration and he come out and they was laughing at them disciples that he left. He said, listen, this kind only come through prayer and fasting. See, we don't like to fast. You know, the only time we fast is we get our blood work done. Okay, and then as soon as we get that, take that needle out, we in the line at McDonald's getting a. Okay, listen, watch this. It gets good. Okay. Okay, verse number 8, and then Elkanah, her husband, said to Hannah, "Hannah, why weepest thee? We close. We almost there. We getting ready to go into the temple and." You ain't even eating nothing. Okay, remember, we don't even have to go. Somebody said something about, Sylvia said about they could tell you was your by your face. Remember Daniel said, listen, I'm not eating that. Feed me pulse for 10 days. Okay? Here's the same thing. Look, weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? You've got to eat, or they're going to recognize you. You're not in the spiritual condition you need to be in. And why is thy heart grieved? This Eli was a bad boy. He could see these things. He could see your heart. God had gave him that gift. These Old Testament prophets had that. And he said, why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And we can take that and make it sound like he's being arrogant or whatever. And he may have, I don't know, he may have been all that, you know. But I think he's just trying to provoke her to put her in a position where we can get this child. He wanted a child too. But at all the time, God's working behind the scene. He's trying to get Hannah's heart right to ask for the right thing. See, sometimes we don't get our prayers answered because we're not asking for the right thing. We out of God's will and we ask for all the wrong things. Okay? We asked for all the wrong things. So Hannah rose up in verse number 9. Look at this now. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. They went off to the restaurant. Got them something to eat. Hannah got her head together. Hannah got right with God. Hannah got herself together. She understood. Eli basically gave her the gospel. You can't step before God and ask for a child if you're not right with God. Hannah got more than right. Okay? Hannah got more than right because she offered up the right prayer. Watch this. Okay, so Hannah rose up. Sound like resurrection language here. And Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. Shiloh is a picture of Christ. Okay? When Shiloh comes, got a lot of churches called Shiloh. Okay? When Shiloh come, she had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had eaten and drunk, they didn't get drunk, they ate and drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she, verse number 10, and she was in bitterness of soul. How about that? Now, that's a little different than being in mourning. She was in bitterness of soul, basically saying she wanted to have this child in the worst of ways. And God had her right where He wanted her. Okay? And sometimes God will press His hand on us to get us to ask for the right things. I hope I'm making sense. Okay? And she was in bitterness of soul. And here we go. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Hannah's a picture of the church. And here's what we need to do if we want to see our loved ones come to the Lord. We want to see our sick loved ones healed. And we want to see our lost loved ones come to the Lord. We need to get in a bitterness of soul. Okay? Yeah, we want our cousins and our loved ones and our kids to get saved. But do we weep and pray and fast for that collectively as a church? The word of God says the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. I don't see much weeping in prayer. I don't see much weeping in souls, that bitterness in soul that we need to have, especially in the days we live in. Here we go. God got her now. She weeping sore. God's opening up her mouth. Look at what she says in verse 11. And she vowed a vow. She made a promise to God. She made a promise to God and said, O Lord of hosts. God loves to be called the Lord of hosts. It's one of His favorite names. The Lord of everything. If thou will indeed look on my affliction of thy handmaid. Put herself in the lowest position. Remember when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. And what did Mary call herself? She called herself a handmaid of the Lord. Forget what Catholicism teach, that Mary was the mother of God and all that stuff. No, Mary was human as any woman in here. Okay? She wasn't on the same level spiritually as God. She called herself the handmaid. She said, look upon the affliction of thy handmaid. this thing is really ripping me apart. The fact that I cannot have a child. Now, God said, well, I don't want you to have a child for Elkanah. I want you to have a child for me. He got a bunch already. I need one for me. And Dave was talking yesterday about the first fruits. He was on point. See, the first fruit, that first child. The first child that comes out of a woman is always to be what? Dedicated to the Lord. Dedicated to the Lord. Okay? And Dave made another point. That male child, that woman would have a 30-day period of cleansing. For a female child, it was triple that. 90 days of purification. But that male child was reverenced. Okay? I think the Word of God said that every male child that opened the womb is holy to the Lord. Okay? And I know somebody, that's a Bible, that chauvinist Bible. It is what it is. I'm just called to preach it. Okay? And listen to what he says. God's got her now. Hannah's praying for the right thing because God's got her now. God's got her now. He got her in a position and sometimes that affliction to get your heart right. Listen, whose prayer life? Everybody's prayer life is better when sickness and adversity come. Okay? See, when we got it all together, prayer life, put it on the shelf. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Thank you for the food I'm about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Then gobble it down. Okay? But when all hell break out in our life, prayer lives get good. Prayer lives get good. When sickness strikes a family or death strikes a family, prayer lives get good. Going through surgery, your prayer lives get better, don't it? I know it do. Y'all don't have to say amen on that. Hannah's prayer life is getting better. Look, and it says, but let me start at verse number 11 because this is the verse of the, right here. And she vowed a vow and said unto the Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on my affliction. I like that. Just look on my affliction. She knew how powerful God was. Remember we talked about prayer 2 weeks ago. We talked about the Lord's Prayer. Then, you know, she's giving God reverence. She said, God, you ain't got to touch it. You ain't got to speak to it. All you got to do is just wink at it because you're that kind of God. All you guys got to do is look on my affliction. Sometimes we just have to ask God, you know, just look on my situation. Because he's that kind of God. She's giving God reverence. And that is not enough. She said, look on my affliction of thy handmaid. I am your servant. Okay? Basically what I'm saying, she's saying the same thing Mary's saying. I'm having this baby for you, God. Now she in the right place. I'm having this child for you. And remember me. How about that? Thief on the cross type of language now. Oh, she's showing reverence now. Remember me. Mm-mm-mm. And not forget thy handmaid. Give it again. Not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid. I'm yours. A man child. So we can get specific in our prayers. We don't have to be vague and prayers just flying all over. You know, we need to just tighten them down and get specific with God. Okay? When you get in God's will, you can get specific. Now, he said, he's getting specific now. She said, not only, don't just give me a child. I don't want a child. You done took me through too much just to have a child. I want to have a great child. Okay? Now, we remember Samuel was born now, and Samuel would be the one that anointed both Saul and David. Okay? That's a great child, a child that anointed David. Okay, and David was one of the greatest men that ever lived, and God used Samuel to do it. Okay, and he says, not only that, I just don't want a child, but a man child, and then I will give him unto the Lord. How about that? How about that? What a difference our public schools would be if parents prayed to God to give me a man child that I may give to you. Okay, what a difference. We having children just to be having them. We want them to be in the NBA or to be in the playing Major League Baseball and being rapper. Oh my little, listen, my little son. I watch these little girls. They dress them all up at 4 or 5 years old and turn them into supermodels. We not dedicate our children to the Lord, and if we don't dedicate them to the Lord, then we dedicate them to Satan. Okay, because see, you know, it is what it is. A lot of these superstars now that come right out of the church. They use the church for a platform to spring into their career. The next thing you know, they're running around half naked talking about my father's a pastor. I will give them to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She's taking this son to take the Nazarite vow. I'm going to close. And it came to pass that she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Marked her mouth. Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He marked her mouth. He knew what she was saying. He's listening to her. He's trying to get up. He's trying to discern what she's saying. Now Hannah, verse 13, she spoke in her heart. See what I'm saying? She spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. This prayer might have bypassed Eli. Now look at it. It went straight to the Lord. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunk? Put away the wine from thee. Sound like a Baptist preacher there. You coming into church, oh, I smell the alcohol on you, all drunk. Get up out of here. Get up out of the house of God. That's what he was saying. Okay? That's what he's saying. Eli didn't miss it here. And Eli said to her, how long will thou be drunk? Put away the wine in front of you. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, small L, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the L-O-R-D, caps, the Jehovah God. Count not thy handmaid for the daughter of Belial, the daughter of wickedness. That's what Belial means, the daughter of wickedness. For out of my abundance of my complaint and grief, I have spoken hereto. And Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. What did she ask for? A man child. What did she get? The baby Samuel. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Finish reading.